Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am your host, Angela Butler. Tonight, March 27, 2012, we have with us tonight Ulysses Calvert of UL Designs. How are you doing this afternoon, Ulysses?
Hey, how's it going, young lady?
Everything is going good. I know you're probably going to have to cut out early, so if you have to, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. When did you first start designing clothes?
It's been over 17 years now. I was in junior high. I was Mr. Afro in the eighth grade, and I made my own suit, cummerbund, and bow tie to wear to the event that we had at school in my hometown. So it's been a long time, and I've been doing, like I say, I sold myself. So it's been kind of like a thing. I've been wearing suits ever since I was in the fifth grade. So dressing, you know, and coming from down south is just one of those things that most men from down south do. So,
okay. Who influenced you in your youth?
Well, my dad. My dad is a very well-dressed man, and I don't know if I want to say this on air, but I am. I used to run home when I was in school. I used to run home and watch General Hospital to see what Luke had on, and I would match something up for the next day in school from General Hospital. I know I'm probably dating myself now. People don't know who Luke and Laura is from General Hospital.
I do. But
some of my influences, I love old black and white movies. So back in the day, people, they really dressed, men and women. I don't care if they was black, white, whatever ethnic group they came from. Back in the day, the 40s, 50s, those people really dressed, and I fell in love with the different lapels and styles of suits, and so that was a big influence on me.
As a designer, do you have a favorite fabric and cut that you like?
Well, you know, my thing, I like Super 100 wool, and the reason why I like Super 100 wool is because it's thin enough you can wear it in the summer. It has enough weight to it that you can still wear it in the winter, so you can get away with it. You know, a lot of people like Super 150s, Super 140s, but when I manufacture my clothes, all of my suits that I make, they are 95% wool, 5% cashmere, which is super fine wool. So you're looking at something like a Super 120 or Super 140. But me, myself, I like Super 100s because the weight, it's thin enough to wear in the summer, so you can be cool, but it's got enough weight to it that the wintertime you'll be okay too.
You have a passion for clothes. That's very obvious. You have a passion for it, and you're living out your passion and working your passion. But how do you come up with the ideas for fashion? I mean, you just come up with things, right?
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, it's funny because people think that, you know, wow, that person is so, fashion is like history. You know, they say history repeats itself. Fashion, if I see somebody with something on, I'm like, man, I like that. So I could go back and sketch out that same suit, shirt, but now I can add my own twist to it. So on a suit, the lapel and the pockets, either they're going to be hidden buttons or the buttons are going to be shown, covered buttons or regular buttons. But the lapel makes the suit. And so you can design your lapel so many different ways. And so I try to stay true to myself. I'm very out of the box. My clothes are, I can be conservative sometimes, but my ties and shirt, I'm very, not flamboyant, but my stuff does stand out. But you don't have to worry about with my designs. You could wear my suits or my other women could wear the dresses. Dresses more than one time.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
so
wonderful.
Yeah. Right.
What do you think of European suits for black men and beyond?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I am going to be honest. I put this out on Facebook. I should have did it on Twitter. And when I saw P. Diddy and some other people, and it's a lot of people that are wearing it. I don't think, this is my opinion, being a designer, being a man, and being a African-American man myself, that European designs are not for black men. We have too much behind hips. We're just built too defined for that. European is just that. For European, most European guys are slender on the skinny, slender side. And the skinny jeans and European cut suits, it doesn't work for black men. And if you see, just so something for you to look at, from now on, when you see the men now, when they wearing the suits, the European suit, if the vent in the back of the suit is laying open, that means the suit is too little. If you can see my bicep, my muscles in my arm, in my suit coat, the suit is too tight. If it looks like I'm uncomfortable because my pants are so tight, that means the suit is too tight. And I don't know. My design, I'm going to have you comfortable, but I'm also going to make sure that it's a nice fit, but you got to be comfortable, and you don't have to worry about those body parts showing. European suits, European designs are not for black men, period.
Okay.
You heard it.
All
you
right.
You said it. UL Design said it. I'm on air now, so it's out there now.
Okay. Why do you choose boutiques instead of national sales, national stores?
Because I want to stay true to who God has blessed me, to who has helped me, and how I make my money and how I make my living is that these smaller stores, and not that they're not doing good. These stores are doing well, but the smaller stores, other than the Burlington Coat Factory, the K&G, the Men's Warehouse, Macy's, the big stores like that. So now for the smaller stores can have my designs, and they're able to buy my designs and be able to put their price points on them so they can make some money off them, because this is what this is all about. We're in business to make money. So now if I do that, I can keep my designs low enough that the smaller stores can buy them and still sell them where they can make some money off of. But the regular Joe and the regular people like me and you, we can come in the store and we can shop every week if we want, because they're at a price that we can afford.
Do you have a special name for your men's line? I know your company is UL Designs, but do you have a special name for the men's line?
Well, you know, for my men's line is simple. Like I say, it's UL Design, and it's the ultimate look of fashion. I think that my designs are the ultimate look of fashion for men. Not being braggadocious, I've done very well with my clothes, but it's just something about a well-dressed man, and everybody that buys my clothes and everybody that buys them and wears them, it fits. Your size is your size. They're running true to size. It's a nice fit, especially for overweight men. I think my suits are really good for men that have problems in the midsection, if they've got the stomach. I do the athletic cut on mine. I think it's very good for people who otherwise is hard to buy clothes for. When you buy my suits, even off the rack, you get that fine fit, and it looks good. And like you say, you know, if you look good, you feel good, everything's good. It's very hard to be, me and you was talking, and it's hard for you to fight to be violent when you have a nice suit on and looking good. And that's what I told people. I'm ready to help change the world. You know, the people pull their pants up. I want everybody to sag, and I want them to call me. I want to put them in a suit. Then I want to know, then I go out and see if you're going to act the same way. You walk different when you clean. Have you noticed when people are dressed up, you walk different?
Uh-huh.
You got that different attitude. You hold your head up. You know, you give you that extra confidence. And that's what I'm about. I want to help give people that extra confidence. I want to close the world.
All right. You want to close the world. All right. That's a lot of money, too. Why did you not follow the trend and make clothes for slim women only? I mean, most of the fashion designers, the European fashion designer, make clothes for really little women, size 4s, 6s, 8s. Why curvy women? Why curvy women? Even petite curvy women?
Well, but my clothes
I call it plus size.
With me, I have seven sisters and a mother. I've been around women all my life. Women, I love women, and so women comes in all shapes and sizes. But my clothes for my women line is for women. It's more on the couture side, so it's very grown and sexy. It's business. You got business casual. You got business. You got formal, and it's for women with curves. Be it if you petite, mid size, plus size, whatever size you are, and if you have curves, then my women line is for you. And I think that that's a very important thing, because you have women all sizes that have curves. And
yes.
And you should have some, and it's hard for the women to shop, especially for mid size, plus size women. It's hard for them to shop and look good and not look like their, you know, look like their mother, or they wear something old looking, or the design is not up to date, or not very sexy or very couture looking. So I made sure that I made something that everybody, you can feel just as beautiful as the plus size girl. You can feel just as beautiful as the petite girl. And all
okay.
of you are going to look, yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to send me an outfit. So I can style it around, so I can fashion style it. You're going to dress me up, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We're going to take care of that.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go to the caller, okay? The caller.
All right.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. How are you doing? Hello, caller? Caller. You're on the air. I guess they're just calling to listen. They just called to listen. And they don't have any questions.
Okay.
Are you single?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are your women's clothes priced at? And the men's clothes? What are the prices range? What is the price range?
You can get a good men's suit from anywhere from $300, $375, and a nice men's suit. I also have some that are cheaper than that, and it doesn't.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up.
Okay,
well,
can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. They range from anywhere from $275 and up. I have some even you could get on the rack, maybe even cheaper than that, men's suits. But it doesn't take away from the design nor the fabric. Now, these are ones that are already on the rack. Now, my custom designs, something that I would come in and you would get measured and we would pick the material, they start from $800 and up, my custom design. And it's just because of what goes into making a suit and having a very nice suit, but very affordable. And I do shirts, ties, the whole nine yards, and I even got my own jean line. So it's very affordable. So I think that people should know that you can look good, and it doesn't cost a lot of money for you to look good. You just got to know where to go and where to shop and what to look for.
The Black Tommy Hilfiger is what I'm going to nickname you, if you don't mind.
Well, hey, you pray for us so we can make sure we can get some of that Tommy Hilfiger money. So that way now my prices get even lower. That way now then I can lower my prices even lower so to make sure I can clothe the world.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to go back to the callers. I think they just called in to listen because I advertised the number, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Okay.
Callers, do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? Okay. No answer.
Okay.
No answer. I guess they don't.
Okay.
Okay.
We're still here. You know, I just want them to know. So
yeah, I've got about eight callers, and none of them are saying anything. So I'm going to the questions.
Okay.
Do you design evening gowns?
Yes, I do. I have evening gowns. I have women pantsuits, skirt suits, blouses, evening gowns. Actually, we designed one, and this is true, that this design is so, not talking about, just so elegant, that the person, I sketch myself, but I have other people who really draw, who, you know, that brings it back out to life and put it on canvas for me. But the design was so nice that the man that was doing it said it almost brought a tear to his eye. And so I called it Cry For Me, this design. I know, and I got it.
Evening gown.
It's an evening gown, yeah, Cry For Me. I would have to, I got to send you, somehow send you a picture of this once we get everything down and up and running. But the evening gown is really nice, very nice. I love my angles, my cuts, my cleavage cuts and my angles. And my collar.
I'm not expecting an evening gown from you, but I am expecting a suit. I really am.
Okay.
A lady's outfit.
Okay. Well, hey, look, I've said it on air already, so now I can't retract it now. I can't retract it now. So,
how long did you have your store, your boutique, your store?
Well, I've had several stores. I had one store in St. Paul, Minnesota for 12 years. And I had another store for 8 years, but like I say, I've been designing and working with a manufacturer for over 18 years. So, you know, doing the magic show in Vegas, which is the Super Bowl of clothing shows, and it's twice a year, February and in August. So I'm getting ready for that, actually, for August, so.
Have you designed, you said you have been to the Magic City in Vegas. That's a pretty big event.
Magic Show.
That's like the Super Bowl.
Just called
Magic
the Magic
Show.
That is the big deal. Yeah, that's the biggest thing in the United States as far as a clothing show. I don't care what anybody else is doing. That is the place. That's everybody, that's anybody, from entertainers, ball players, designers, manufacturers, wannabe designers, wannabe manufacturers, from shoestrings to buttons, to you name it, to hair ribbons, anything that's made for fashion, it's at the Magic Show, and that's where you go. And so,
have you designed clothes for any NBA and NFL players? The NBA and NFL players?
Yes, I've done.
You don't have to name them if you don't want to, but I was just wondering if you had.
Well, yes, I have. Yes, I have. But I will name my favorite guy. He was a professional ball player, and everybody knows who Kirby Puckett is, and we used to make all of Kirby Puckett's clothes. And he's passed now, you know, God bless his soul, he's passed. And then for the Minnesota Vikings, Michael Bennett, which was the running back, everybody knows about him, and Dante Culpepper and people. But, you know, like I told you before, even though I've made clothes for a lot of people, prestige people, my biggest accomplishment is being able to clothe people who doesn't have money like those people. That's what I strive on. I want to make sure that I can clothe the people who doesn't have money like that, because those are going to be my regular customers. Most people with money, they shop once a year, maybe twice a year, and they're going to buy in bulk and they're done. You know, you need a residual business, and you need to make sure that your prices are that people can come in and shop, and they can shop 3-4 times a month, you know, and so and the average people. So that's what I really love. You know, the people, the stars and the ball players that I've made clothes for, yeah, that's fine. But the regular people, that's who I'm targeting, and that's gives me my greatest joy, that I can help somebody to look good, dress good, feel good, to better accomplish what they need to do. Because I tell people, and I'm sorry, I know I'm talking too much, I tell you, don't dress for the job you get.
Go ahead.
Don't dress for the job you have. Dress for the job you want. So with my clothes, I'm gonna have you looking so good that you're gonna look way more successful than what you're doing now. And so that way we can do like the Bible said, we can speak those things that are not, although they were. So.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with bringing God into the picture. You can't do it without God anyway.
Well, I hope
all
you
right, caller.
I was hoping, I'm sorry, I mean, cut you off, but I was hoping you weren't going to bleep me out or bleep that part out that I can't
say
anything about God. I'm sorry, because without him, I wouldn't be here.
That's right. Neither would I. Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll come back to you, Ulysses Calvert of UL Designs. We've got to pay some bills right now. Also, don't forget to check out Urban Spice Magazine at www.urbanspicemag.com and check out my little articles in there on Hot Topics. All right, let's go to break.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right. Listeners, that was the commercial by the CEO of the Digital Conglomerate Magazine, the online magazine. The owner of it is Garland McLaughlin. Don't forget to check out the Conglomerate Online Magazine. And next we have Exquisite Barista, a company of exquisite design.
Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
Okay, that's it. That's Exquisite Barista, a company of exquisite design. The number is 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Next, we're going to listen to some X40. I think we'll listen to Free Braxton. All right. Talk with Angela Butler, Ms. Ulysses Calvert. All right, Mr. Calvert, do you have any advice you'd like to give to the youth Is there any advice you'd like to give to the youth?
Yes, I would. I mean, I would encourage them if they have any passion for fashion that they should pursue it. And if any way that they could make it to the magic show, I would tell anybody that's pursuing fashion that they should take a trip to Vegas either in February, it's always around the week of Valentine's Day, and in August is always the last week of August. And if you can make it to the fashion show, and that way, to the magic show, I'm sorry, that way you can see the bottom, the ground level of what's going on. So you'll meet the manufacturers, you'll meet the wholesalers, you'll meet the designers, you'll see fashion shows, you'll see what's going on, and that would just help them with their creativity of what they want to do. And so, and the young ones that are already kind of, you know, designing their own T-shirts or whatever, they're doing their jeans or blouses for the girls or what they got going on, I would very, very much let them know, wear your own design. Make sure you're wearing your own stuff. Do your fashion, create your fashion, wear it yourself, because you're your best billboard. You're your walking billboard, and your best model is going to be yourself.
All right. Where can my listeners go to find your clothes?
Well, they can always call 612-466-1708, but they can go on Facebook. They can go to Facebook to ULYSSESCAL, V as in Victor, ERT, Ulysses Calvert at Facebook, or they can go to MySpace for ULS. DESIGN, that's ULS Design at MySpace, or either they can go to my Black Planet account and they can go to Ulysses Calvert, ULYSSESCALVERT at Black Planet, and my designs, my fashion about me and my bio and stuff, and they can find out more.
Okay. All right, listeners. We've had with us tonight Ulysses Calvert of UL Designs. He's given out his information. Next we have, and I thank you for coming on too, Ulysses.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
All right, thank you. Thank you, and I look forward to having you back.
All right, listen, and look, I am just really, really looking forward to hearing big things from you. I know that you are really getting it on and doing a great work there in the Florida area, and I'm looking for you to go syndicate it. So we're praying, and I'm knowing some great things are going to come out of this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I hope so, too. I really do. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we have with us tonight in the place of Eddie LaVert Jr., we have with us Reginald Lewis of Urban Spice Magazine. Mr. LaVert could not make it. Something came up, so we're going to talk about Trevor Martin and the case down in South Florida where George Zimmerman shot him. Okay, how are you this afternoon, Reginald Lewis? How are you, Reginald?
Oh, I'm doing great. And yourself, Angela?
I'm doing okay.
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
The first thing I'd like to say is that you're one of the owners of Urban Spice Magazine. They also have an online magazine. Would you give that URL? It's
www.urbanspicemag.com.
Yes, and I have a little article in there, too, called Hot Topics, which should be coming out soon. Okay, what is your input
right.
on
and
what happened?
We should have it online in about 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days? Okay, all right.
Yeah, we have everything online in March.
Okay, what is your input on the things
Hello?
That happened to... Yes, I'm here. What is your input on the things that happened to Trayvon Martin, the 17-year-old, the 17-year-old that was fatally shot by George Zimmerman? What is your input on that?
Well, being that I'm from Lakeland, Florida, which is pretty much about a half an hour, 40-minute drive from Sanford, I think it's a great tragedy that, you know, I've left Florida 20 years ago, and I think it's a great tragedy that these type of things are still happening on the level that they're happening on. You know, I have a lot of Facebook friends, a lot of media friends, and they've been reaching out to me all day to cover this event, bring some awareness to the event, and I think it happens all the time, but this particular event, we just got media on it. But I think it's happening a lot more than we're aware of, but it's still a tragedy that in 2012 that this is my opinion. I think it was a racist move, what happened. And maybe the person didn't intend for it to happen to go that far, but it did, and I think it was because of racism.
Okay. You know they've been marching in, I believe, in New York and down south. Al Sharpton has come in on this. What is your input on all this? I mean, with the justice
system.
Oh, it's
great. They had
it's great that
been a great thing. They had a couple buses that left out of Atlanta early this morning. Unfortunately, I couldn't be on the bus, but I would love to have been on the bus. But we can't just sit back and tolerate and be fearful anymore. We have to stand up for what's right, equality, and especially when our youth are involved in senseless, brutal attacks such as what happened to Trevor. Because if we don't, the judicial system already isn't for us, so it's just going to get to the point to where people can freely kill, you know, our people, our youth, and use it in self-defense as a scapegoat.
All right. We have
so,
a caller.
You know, we have to come together. We have to let them know that this is not going to be accepted.
Caller, do you have a question?
And we're doing a great job of that.
Caller, do you have a question? Hello, caller. Okay, I guess not. I guess they're just listening. I asked callers, and I guess they're just listening. What I think is George Zimmerman took the law into his own hands. I don't think it was very well warranted. I think once he called 911, that pretty much should have been it. He did not have to follow. And my understanding is that he had called in the past to report suspicious black men in his neighborhood, in his close-gated community. And I think it is a shame that being black, that just because you're black, it's a crime. It's like driving while black, racial profiling, DWB. I mean, I think it's a shame that a person is killed just because of the color of their skin. And especially a 17-year-old that is a teenager. Do you think George Zimmerman should be prosecuted? I do, of course. And I'm sure you do, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't hear you. You're fading out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He should absolutely be prosecuted. Do you think
it should be considered
a hate crime?
Self-defense.
You don't think it was a case of self-defense?
I'm not. I don't think it's a case of self-defense. I just think it's a case that he took the law into his own hands. Whether it was a hate crime or not, I think there was some racism involved, but I don't know what triggered and what happened for them to get to, involved to the point to where a gunshot rang off. So I can't make a judgment call thinking it's a hate crime, but I think he was definitely, because he was a black guy wearing a hoodie, he was put in the category of, you know, a hoodlum. And so he predetermined that this guy was up to no good, and he wasn't trained professionally to make that decision. And
okay.
If I understand correctly, was he just volunteering? Did he have a background of security work or being in the army or any
major.
Type of law?
I don't know about army,
you know,
but he was a criminal justice major. I know that much. He was a criminal justice major.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to go back to a couple of callers.
So he had no prior training in order to be...
The police, to my understanding, had told him not to fall in on 911. That's what the tape said. And he took the law into his own hands and decided to follow him, armed with a gun. And to, in my opinion, to confront him.
Right. Yeah.
Caller,
I mean, he definitely
callers,
was a
do
bad
you have
judgment
any questions?
That led into a tragedy situation.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very tragic situation. The man is also Hispanic. They're trying to say that he's not racist, but I feel that he is because he used racial slurs on the 911 calls they have come out now. And it's just real bad. It's just horrible. I mean, and it happens more than what people know. Not only are they locking up youth offenders for things that can't always be proven, are keeping evidence from being presented that will keep African Americans free. They just don't. It's just racism, and I feel it's racism. Other people agree with me apparently, and I'm glad they're marching. So.
Yeah. Do you have a specific number of how many people showed up for the march today?
No, I don't have a specific number of the people that showed up for them. I know it was hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. Yeah, I know it was hundreds of people. I don't have a specific number, no. I didn't get that, but... The thing that gets me is that he was only 17 years old, and he just started to live life, and apparently he was on the phone.
Yeah, he was a kid.
Yeah, a kid. Apparently he was on the phone with another teenage girl, according to a radio show that I heard. Her name cannot be given out. But she was on the phone the whole time, so there's another witness that other people had called in to 911. I also talking about yelling. There was two people yelling that he was yelling in the background. So it's really, and you could hear the man's voice over the youth's voice. So they were yelling, loud yelling. Because the lady kept telling her child when I was listening to the 911 calls from the media, the other media, was saying, get away from the window. She's telling somebody to get away from the window. So.
It was calls made and.
He obviously had a dislike
for
black.
It's a sad situation, and like I said.
He obviously seemed to have a dislike, or maybe even hatred for black people. Black males in particular, or black people in general. He wouldn't have called 911 all them times in the past to report suspicious black males in the in his close-gated community neighborhood. And what makes it so sad...
Had he ever reported a suspicious white male?
Now, that I do not know.
Has he ever reported a suspicious white male?
That I do not know. To the best of my knowledge, no. To the best of my knowledge, no. And the thing that makes it also sad is that he only had Skittles and tea on him. So when he used the racist name on 911, that should be considered a hate crime. And I don't believe it should be. I really think it's murder, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion, because the young man was not on his property. That was not necessarily his property. He was not defending his property. He was not, and he. I don't feel like it. I just feel like it's tragic. There was nobody breaking in on him, so.
It's definitely.
You know.
I mean, it doesn't. What? And I understand some type of law they passed in Florida, maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Stand your ground law.
Which that's
that
the reason
law,
that they haven't arrested
stand your ground.
Guy yet.
Yeah, stand your ground. It's where you can meet violent force with violent force. And the stand your ground law was originally intended to protect homeowners that had burglaries. I had people coming on their property, people in a situation where they're being attacked on their property. But they extended it to the point where you could do it outside your property. And I think that's where they messed up at. That's what they messed up.
Oh, yeah. So if anybody's fighting in the street, you basically kill.
Yes. Yes. I call
you basically
this the Wild Wild West.
Approach that
state.
Person with violent force.
Yes. If you can prove that you're defending yourself. But it was originally intended for homeowners because there were so many burglaries and there were so many people that were having break-ins and being murdered in their homes here in Florida. And it was to protect the homeowners. But they extended it too far where you could kill somebody just out in the open in the streets. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, here in Florida where I live, you do not have to have you can have a gun out in the open. You don't have to have it concealed, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that now. But I personally do not own a gun. I've never owned a gun.
Yeah, that's the law.
Yeah.
That's the law in Florida. You can walk around with a gun.
Yeah. George Zimmerman did have a permit to carry that gun. He did have a permit. And they are saying that he is Hispanic. But I feel like he took the law into his own hands when he started following him, and I believe he confronted him. You probably scared the young man to death.
Yeah. After the police asked them not to follow the guy, then that should have been enough, you know.
Yeah, the police were on their way anyway. 911 had been called. The police had been dispatched. So there was no need for him to take the law into his own hands. Like, he could have stayed inside and let the police handle it. So he was obviously looking for a fight. You know what I'm saying? He was looking. It just didn't make any sense.
Exactly.
It didn't make any sense to me. None of it. None of it has. And I can't really reason it out because it makes no sense to me how he can say that's self-defense. But if you can prove that somebody's attacking you here in Florida to stand your ground, even if you're not on your own property or if you're not in your own house, you can pretty much use violent force with violent force. So that's how that goes.
So Skittles... A violent force, meaning you punch somebody with your hand and now you can use a weapon. You can, so violent force, you know.
If somebody is attacking
you, don't have to have a weapon to be considered.
I don't know about all that.
That's considered violent force?
I believe it involves weapons, yes. Yeah.
So he didn't have a weapon, so how are they getting around that?
I don't know. The young man didn't have a weapon, and he was only 17 years old. That's why they're saying it's racism. There had been no previous record on the young man either.
Yeah, we need to.
What? We need what?
Yeah, we definitely need to. They definitely need to look into that law. I mean, the law has. Whenever you have a law that has loopholes that allows for someone to murder or kill another person without any type of punishment, the law needs to definitely be looked at and changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listeners, we're going to go to break. I have about eight or nine callers on. I've asked y'all if you want to talk. I know you get tired of hearing that, but I assume that you don't, so I'm going to go to break, and I guess you just called in to listen. All right. Break time. Got to pay some bills.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, that was Garland McLaughlin again with Digital Conglomerate Online Magazine. Next, we have Exquisite Barista, a company of exquisite design.
Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business nigga pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, that was Exquisite Barista, a company with Exquisite Design. The phone number is 210-701-0143. Let's not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather, the Visalis couple who sell Visalis. You can hit them up on Facebook to place an order with them. Let's not forget Joanna Ramsey, the director and writer of Lost It All. Let's not forget Conte Contino to vote for him in the More Time to vote for him, the Walmart voting slots online to vote for the favorite product so it can be put on the shelf. It's called Getting It on the Shelf. Putting It on the Shelf or either Getting It on the Shelf, and it's sponsored by Walmart. That's Conte Contino's product, More Time to Sleep. You can also go to order the product at www.mtts.com. That's Conte Contino, More Time to Sleep, and it's for fussy babies. Let's not forget Demetri Stewart, the owner, editor of Ambition Magazine either. That's www.ambition.com. All right, we're here also with my favorite person, Reginald Lewis, the owner, the CEO, one of the owners of Urban Spice Magazine, and he also does fashion shows. I'm going to go to another caller. If you don't have anything to say, just stay quiet. But I'm going to some callers. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions? Caller, do you have any questions? Okay, I'm going to go to another caller. Hello, caller, do you have any questions? Okay, I guess they're just listening. They're just listening. Okay, I published the number, so I guess that's why everybody's calling in. Reginald?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
You said people left for Atlanta to go where? Down south to New York, where? Left for Atlanta on a
down
bus?
Down to Sanford.
Sanford, okay. That's New Orleans, Florida.
Yes, they had
Florida.
Two or three chartered buses this morning, maybe more,
okay,
to go down to Sanford, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the nation... is I want to give
big ups to the nation for standing up for Trevor. You know, for those who can, we need to, you know, with social media, we can do so much so quickly. So I definitely would like to see, you know, the social media networks come together as well and create some type of campaign to maybe bring awareness to this tragedy as well, too.
Yes, it is a tragedy. It definitely is a tragedy. His parents must be very distraught, very upset, very heartbroken. It must be very painful losing a child, but especially
in
that manner.
Yeah, I have two sons myself, and I couldn't imagine.
Okay. Yeah, I have a child myself, and it's horrible. What do you feel should be done by the justice system? If you could do something, had it in your power to do something, what do you feel should be done?
Well, the first thing that I would address, you know, is and my condolences to the parents, to the family, and everybody involved. We need to address the law so that this doesn't continue happening. I understand the FBI has gotten involved, and it shouldn't take all that, you know, things that make sense to us. You don't know, you know, basically all the facts. We don't have all the facts, but hopefully everything comes out for, you know, Trevor's best interest. But I think we need to address the law. We do have the ability to make sure that the law is addressed. So now that can be the excuse the next time this comes up, because it will come up again. It's not going to just stop. It's going to come up again.
But doesn't this have its roots?
That would be my first thing that I would recommend.
Okay, what's your next thing?
The next thing is that I would put pressure on the police department, the chief of police, basically to... I know they have an investigation, but if the public stands up and demands a trial, demands evidence to be brought out, then, of course, he's an elected official. So we do have the power to make sure that, you know, the elected officials do something about this, because that's why we have elected officials. And we need to let that be known that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. And if you don't do anything about things when we have legitimate concerns, then you won't be reelected, and we'll make sure of that.
Okay. Also, I was told that the sheriff...
we can't bring Trevor back.
No, we can't bring Trevor back. Also, I was told, I learned recently that the sheriff had stepped down from the case. The sheriff had some kind of way stepped down. Had you heard about that? That the sheriff down south had. I had heard that the sheriff had removed himself. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I had was told by some people that are down south who are keeping me informed. So, but if you can't protect your, if we can't protect our own children and from racism, hatred, and murder, you know, that's what we're on earth to do, to protect our children from hatred, racism, prejudice. And every parent wants to protect their child from harm. So, I it's senseless. You know.
Yes, it's definitely senseless.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything
and,
else
and,
you'd
you
like?
Know, I was listening to... Yeah, I was listening to some people online this morning, and they were just, they were saying that this is not the only case where things like this is happening. I mean, it's happening all the time all over the United States of America. But this particular case is just one of those cases that got, you know, that the news got wind of and went public. So it's definitely
well,
something that we as a nation have to get behind and can't sit back and be quiet about.
Well, Martin Lee Anderson, that was at, was a 14-year-old young black male youth who was at the was in the juvenile justice system, and he was at some type of camp. I can't remember the exact name of it. Down in Panama City, Florida, or Bay County. Bay County Boot Camp, I believe it was called. And he was, and he died in the boot camp. So, you know, that's telling you something right there. Those his Trayvon Martin case and Martin Anderson case made national news, worldwide news. But why did they have to die in order for people to take a look and say this is wrong? Because this is going on more often than what anybody knows, more than likely the black youth are being, I hate to say this, did wrong. You know, I'm not going to use the word I wanted to use, but did wrong. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Because it makes you think that you can't really, you know, your child goes for a walk to get some tea and Skittles, and then you find out they're dead. I mean, so that's horrible. And the parents must be horribly, horribly upset. And my sympathies go out to them, my condolences go out to them, and my prayers too. Reginald?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna,
you know, just.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to wrap it up just about the show talk with Angela Butler. We've had on us in the place of Mr. Eddie LaVert Jr., Reginald Lewis, one of the owners of Urban Spice Magazine. The other owner is Terrell Wicker. Is there anything you'd like to add, Reginald? How about a couple of minutes left?
Well, you definitely, yeah, I mean, I would definitely like for everybody to, you know, send an email to Barack Obama, start at the top, you know, your local congressman, your local governor, and it's easy to do. All of them got a Twitter. All of them have a Facebook. So let's use social media, just like Coney did with the thing in Africa. He had 80 million hits on a YouTube video. So we need to send 80 million tweets to the governor's mansion or the governor's Twitter account or his Facebook. They all have it. So it's, you know, it's fine with us talking amongst each other, but we are not going to be the ones to change the laws and things like that. We need to target the people that are responsible for allowing these laws to go in place so that people can commit senseless crimes and get away with it. So I'm pledging everybody to send a Twitter to the governor, send a Twitter to Barack Obama, send a Twitter to your local congressman. You know, all of them have Twitters and all of them have Facebooks. So let's make the social, our presence felt on the social media network. It's the new movement.
And also I'd like to say that if the situation was reversed and it was a black male who had did that to a 26 or 28-year-old male, he would be in jail right now and charged. That's what I truly believe. So, all right, listeners.
Oh, definitely. I mean, racism.
All right, listeners, thank you for tuning in to Show Talk.
It's here. It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere. Racism is probably here to stay until God returns. And that's sad. But that's for God to judge. God, I have to judge. Listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We're going to end the show. We've had with us Reginald Lewis. Early, I had with me Ulysses Calvert of UL Design. Don't forget to check him out. All right, listeners, good night. Good night, Reginald.
Good night.